Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. Maybe not the best night for Leafs Nation, but is there some optimism? Can we pull anything from Game 6 into Game 7? Let's talk to Frank Saravelli, NHL insider, president of hockey content at dailyfaceoff.com, co-host of the DFO Rundown podcast. Good morning, Frank. How are you this morning?
I am doing all right. How are you guys feeling this morning?
Hard to evaluate at times, just like this Leafs
it's
roller coaster
Frank.
That we've been
on. It's complicated.
Don't ask, Frank. We're working through it. We've been trying to find positives. We're also feeling like the ghosts might be creeping in. How do you evaluate a team that looks like they have been the stronger team? They're the better team at times, but still can't find a way to close out last night.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's still certain red flags that you're looking at and you go, okay, you know, particularly for me, it wasn't so much, you know, game six in the latter parts of it. It was before the 5-on-3, you know, if I'm looking at, you know, part of game six that really concerns me for Toronto, it's the stage before those penalties, that they just seem to be sitting back a little bit uptight, a little bit too defensive, a little bit not enough, you know, pushing the pace and really trying to be aggressive. And so part of that's human nature. Part of it is, you know, that's what a lot of teams try and do. You see it all the time, the prevent defense, things like that, that never really seem to end up working out. The Leafs weren't quite as much on their toes as they needed to be. But other than that, like I look at the way they responded in overtime. You know, they were clearly the better team in overtime. I thought they were the better team for most of game six. And if you're looking at reasons to be positive, well, the reason is nothing about this series and the way that it's played out, the way the Leafs have responded time after time, being down, you know, pushing the pace in other games when they have an opportunity, that this doesn't feel anything like some of the other series past where, you know, you've had to manage the ghosts and the demons and all those things. This doesn't feel like that. So that's your reason for optimism, is that they have a chance to write a new story again.
Yeah. These elimination games since 2018, everyone's pointed it out that now they're 0-8 in doing so. But, yeah, I think that maybe that's the fear for you is, you're right, a lot of teams do that prevent defense. I think that it is human nature. There is something just instinctually where you go, let's just not make a mistake, and that changes who you are. But that's the fear, I think, for a lot of people, is that the pressure of all those failures and missed opportunities to close, that manifests itself in a little bit more tightness down the stretch than it would with a different team. But I'm with you, and I think we're with you, and it's what makes today so complicated, right? And just, they played a really good hockey team on the road against the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they carried it into an overtime period. So through four periods of play, essentially, they looked like a stronger team. They look like a better conditioned team. They look like a team with more star power, with more punch, a deeper team with more lines that were rolling and having success. Like, and then you go in and you lose. And this is kind of this is something that is weird to ask, but this whole season was pushed as the last dance, right? For this group, it was, hey, well, this is their final opportunity to show it as a group. And yet here you are today wondering, well, if you show that again in a game seven, and it just ends up being an overtime goal that goes into the back of your net, and it's a, you know, a bad bounce that kills you, what do you do moving into the offseason? Like, do you think that the pressure level on the front office or the coaching staff or some of these players has changed based on what has happened in this series?
Well, yeah, I do. I don't think there's nearly as much pressure. Does that make any sense? And the reason for that is because of how they've played in the series, because they've been the team more often than not dictating how this series has gone. And it's been Tampa, the two-time defending champs, that, you know, aren't fazed by anything, that's had a response. It's not the Leafs chasing, it's the other way around. And Tampa's been able to hang in there. And I think, you know, a lot of what we were talking about all season long in terms of, you know, maybe this being the last opportunity for this group was dependent on what the performance looked like. It wasn't necessarily the end result. I don't think you can throw the baby out with the bathwater here and just have a blanket, well, if they're not making it out of the first round, you know, X, Y, and Z are going to happen. I don't think that's a fair way to operate. I don't think that's how the Leafs would view it anyway. And, you know, process, you know, trumps all, or at least it should. And when you look at the process, you know, throughout getting to this point, the way that this series has unfolded, have there been ugly moments? Sure. You know, I don't even look at last night and say that was the real missed opportunity of the series. It was not going up 3-1, in my opinion. That was really the missed opportunity. And are there question marks about this team's ability to get over the hump if they lose game seven? Sure, they're not going anywhere. The same questions are still going to exist. But, you know, when you look at this matchup and you look at how these two teams have squared off, if, and, you know, not saying it's going to happen, if they lose game seven, I don't look at this Leaf team and say they're a failure and they don't have any chance to ever get over the hump. I look at this team and I'd say that's just a Tampa team that's a monster and it's not your year.
Frank, I think a lot of people listening in Leafs Nation would probably be really frustrated to hear that point, because losing another first round is still losing another first round, whether you do it by trying harder and looking like the better team. So what would you say to those people listening that are just frustrated and want changes and they want things to be blown up in the offseason in terms of a key for a Dubas? Like, how do you hold that hope that just because they looked better, they still lost, possibly?
We are getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but
right.
Everyone wants to see the body thrown on the tarmac. They want to see someone pay the price, and they want to see change a lot of times just for the sake of change, really just to make themselves feel better. And when I say this, I don't know with any degree of certainty. It's just the sense I've gotten, you know, examining the situation and talking to people. I don't get the sense that that's coming. You know, I don't get the sense that there's going to be some massive explosion here where they all of a sudden decide to blow up what's been, you know, pretty successful, you know, playoff results notwithstanding. You know, in terms of building a team that's capable of going on a deep run, like if the Leafs were to have won last night or to win on Saturday or at any varying point, had they gone up 3-1 and were able to close it out, that I think everyone would fully agree that this team as currently constructed is capable of doing some real damage. Like, watching the Florida Panthers on the other side of the bracket go up against the Washington Capitals, I don't look at that, you know, potential second round matchup against either one of those teams and say, oh, like, you know, nice run, but it ends here. I think whoever wins this series is going to be propelled on to the Eastern Conference Final, and then you don't know who you're getting from the Metro side of the bracket. And I don't think any part of that is, you know, I don't think I've said anything that's going to, you know, knock you guys off your chairs. So yeah. If you believe that is indeed the case, well, what, like, why do you have to bang your fist on the table and demand change when that really may not make the most sense? You know, throwing a body on the tarmac just to do it, I don't know that it helps anyone.
Yeah, I think that it's certainly become more complicated, and you would have thought that there was certainly going to be a change if they lost, and now I am with you. I think, again, that it is complicated, and I can understand where people would come from, and I get the, like, yeah, people want to see a hanging in the public square, right, when there's a crime, and losing this series would now at this point be a crime, especially considering, like, it feels a lot like last year, weirdly, where I would say to myself when they blew it to the Habs, man, it's not just that you blew it to the Habs, it's that you had this wide open path to an Eastern Conference final, to a Stanley Cup final, and not that it's wide open or that it's not more difficult this year, but yeah, I'm watching all these series, and I don't see a team that looks anything like what Tampa and Toronto have shown in this series, not in the East anyways.
I don't think you could look at Florida just quickly and say, oh, that team's so much better than Tampa. I don't look at any team in the East and say that.
No, not even close. So the officiating, once again, becomes a huge story in this game. And so Blake pointed this out. We actually have the numbers of the drop-off from game to game. So you go from... This is pretty drastic, actually. It's an average of 16 minutes of special teams, games 1 through 5, to 8 minutes last night in 78 minutes of hockey. It's a significant drop-off. It's something that I think a lot of fans liked the officiating for the most part in terms of not killing the flow. But what is your understanding of just like the way that the league has communicated what they want from these officials? Because it's hard not to notice... when there's that big of a change, there's that big of a swing from what has been 1 through 5 to what we saw last night.
I think it's part of just the nature of the playoffs. The league has touted over the last, few weeks, as anytime officiating has come up as a topic of conversation, haven't you noticed that there's been an increase over the last three playoffs, 6% in penalties called in the playoffs versus the regular season? And that may be true, but as I've gone back and looked in the last, 10 years, there's typically always an uptick in the first few games of round one, almost as a way to send notice, to try and set the tone. And as each series moves on and each game becomes more critical and you end up with an elimination game like you did last night, the whistles tend to get packed away, just as they do as each round gets closer to the Stanley Cup final. There's seemingly and statistically, fewer calls as each round moves on. So no real surprise to me that you get an elimination game last night and you get a game where there's not really a whole lot called. And why the Leafs were so upset is, everyone saw it and the replays after the fact with David Kampf not actually high-sticking Cal Foot. It was either Cal Foot an incredible job selling the call or just a natural human instinct and reaction that, when he got popped in the shoulder pads that it, sort of jerked his head back. I tend to lean more towards the former. Late in a game where your team's down, you take advantage of every opportunity that you can. And, then there was the more careless and egregious, Kerfoot high stick with pretty hard to high stick Victor Hedman in general. So I don't know what you're doing up there. It's a long way to reach. That really put the Leafs in a spot. Those two things come together, at just the most unfortunate time, some people would say the most Leafs time that they could come together. And it was almost like you're sitting there as they go to the 5-on-3, you're trying to nurse this 3-2 lead. My buddies are texting me like, here it comes, like Leafs gonna leaf. And it's almost like everyone could feel it coming together. And that's what happens. When you look at the officiating, I think that's the one real complaint is that, for the most part, they let them play and they made the automatic or what should be automatic, calls like high sticking, except they got that one wrong.
So, Frank, that was very diplomatic of you, the way you explained that. I don't know if there was a question of former or latter. I personally, when I get hit in the shoulder, take a second to think about it and then protect my face. I don't know. Well, we'll see. One more for you before we let you go. The Hart Trophy nominees are out. Auston Matthews is among them, along with Connor McDavid and Shesterkin. What is your read on Matthews' chances? And obviously the votes are already in for this, but say the Leafs lose in round one. They lose game 7 Saturday. Does that get perceived a little bit differently if Matthews wins the Hart and the Leafs are out in the first round around the league?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a regular season award, and it's generally always looked at that way. I don't think playoff success really has anything to do with it. And, you know, frankly, Igor Shesterkin has had his own struggles in his first-round series against the Pittsburgh Penguins as well, being pulled twice. Connor McDavid's been excellent, but the Oilers were still on the ropes, you know, last night in L.A., especially late in the third period of their game as well. So all three finalists have had their own sort of trials and tribulations this round. You know, team, not so much necessarily individual. It doesn't impact it. I think Matthews, you know, my guess is that just handicapping, you know, the sort of conversation and informal polling that we've seen, in the sense that, you know, you've seen people express some of their views and opinions on social media, you know, on radio hits, things like that, that I would think Matthews is the guy that ends up winning it. Purely unscientific, purely based on feel. But it'll be really interesting. I got to tell you guys, I wrestled, you know, really hard with what to do on my Hart Trophy ballot.
No, there's one guy.
I did not vote for Austin Matthews number one. I'll just be fully transparent, because you'll see the results in a few weeks anyway. I had Connor McDavid in the number one spot, but here's where it gets interesting, and here's where I saved myself from not breaking the rules and revealing my ballot. I did not have Igor Shesterkin in my top five.
Hey, Frank, it was great having you on the show. We enjoyed having you on. It was
a
good
run
for you. See you never again. Thank you for your time today. It was really, really great. You were awesome. You were a really good guest. We very much enjoyed you, and we very much appreciate it. Hey, for real, thanks for coming on today, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Hang in there this weekend.
Take care. Frank Cervelli, non-voter of Austin Matthews. Clinically insane person.
Non-fan of the show.
Well, I just, yeah. Like, I
bye-bye.
Just, yeah, I think that it, like, we don't have time there to debate it with Frank, but yeah, I think that if you're not voting for Austin Matthews first in the year where he scored 60 goals and you're doing the McDavid thing again, you're overthinking it. You're this is, again, this is always the fear, right? Is the, that to me is where we get into the scary zone. Austin Matthews got to win that award. And Blake, just to your question about how it would be perceived around the league, like, the guy who keeps winning it, you know, is they're the Oilers losers who have been losing. So, like, I like, think about it. There's no conversation around them. So I don't think, yeah, some people would bring it up and they would go, congrats on your regular season award, Austin Matthews. You guys choked in the playoffs again. That's what you get. But in terms of perception around the league, like, that's the normal case in hockey. This isn't the NBA where, again, the best player is, like, going to usually dictate going deeper. And, like, has it changed how you felt about Jokic?
Although the 1-2 in the MVP race are also out now.
But that's what I mean. Like, did it change anything about how you felt about Jokic?
It's almost like these are team sports.
Yeah. So, Ailish, you kind of mentioned this whole thing about, hey, how the fans would feel and how people would feel if they are, and, like, the loser mentality of, like, you can't just run it back. And I think that's what's going to be so complicating and about all of this is that, and you know what? Do you want to do this as something that you want? Or do you want to do you have something for that?
I mean, either or.
Okay.
I can back pocket my chew for later.
Is it a has to do be today chew?
No. Okay. I'll just put it in my little tin, my little chew tin, put it in the back pocket of my baseball pants.
Put that in the chew tin. It's time for Something to Chew On, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
Yum, yum, yum.
Something to Chew On is just simply, what do you do if they lose and it looks the exact same way? That's what we're discussing, right? What happens if they lose the exact same way as they just did in Game 6? And how do you proceed in moving forward in the offseason? Because, Ailish, like, you make a good point of, like, you still lost. Ultimately, you still lost, and you are trying to measure yourself up against contenders. But everybody in their right mind would know that this team looks good and that this team is right. My counter to it is this, and maybe this is the chew on. Who knows? If you've lost this many times and we feel like, in that moment, I questioned it, right? In that third period where you're going into the prevent defense, so-called. How much of that is based on, oh my God, I can't believe we have a chance to do this? And, like, at what point do you lose so many times in a row where it does have a cumulative effect where it's harder for you to win games like this. Like, obviously, we're, again, putting the cart before the horse because they could absolutely win Game 7 and a lot of this becomes irrelevant. And this will become a greater conversation if they do lose. But what is the point of depreciation when it comes to a core and a group and a team and a management group and a coach, right? Like, doesn't something have to change? And, of course, things around the fringes of the roster would, but at what point do you not look at it and say you need some kind of a fresh voice either at the top or in somewhere of significance that's going to shake up the ghost potential or the past track record potential?
The thing is, things have been changed for less, you know, like coaches have been switched up for less. This is now X amount of years of, okay, I don't want to say that it's going to happen, but if it does happen, then it's X amount of years of the same result, whether your team looked better in the regular season or not. And that's going to be the hardest thing. As you mentioned, I don't envy the position that the Maple Leafs could be in. Hopefully come Monday, this is something we don't even have to worry about, but it's something to chew on because it is a potential situation now that they had lost Game 6. And you're right. Where do you draw the line? Do you run it back again? And I think my perspective is mostly how the fans react to that, right? And they have played well and they have shown up this time around, but it could still be a disappointing end to the season. And that is hard to swallow as a fan if you just maybe run it back and hope that things will be different. Ghosts are not a tangible thing to hold on to, but they could be a real discussion point.
The hardest part for me is if you're the front office and you don't want to run it back, even though, hey, you could lose this series and on balance at the end of things, look at things and be like, well, we were the third best team or we were one of the three best teams. How do you adjust what you've been doing in a way that makes your team better in a clear and obvious way? Now, in terms of those ghosts being intangible, Ailish.
That's it.
If we were to assume the Leafs had a 50-50 chance every playoff series the last 6 years. Obviously, that's not the case. There were probably a couple where they were underdogs, a couple where they were favored more heavily. But if they were 50-50 and all these were independent, there'd be about a 1 in 64 chance of you losing six in a row. If we assume that they are the favorite, like a slight favorite in some of these series, we're talking like 1 in 250. This is not like... Like, sure, hockey has existed long enough that probabilistically someone's going to lose six first-round series in a row even though they're good. It doesn't happen very often, and it shouldn't statistically. This is a huge, huge, huge outlier in terms of repeated failure if you're a good team. So I don't know what you do with that if you're the front office. There's evidence you're one of the best teams in hockey. There's evidence what you've built works, and there's a lot of evidence that there's some ethereal thing that you can't figure out in the playoffs.
I'm going to call it the quotient, which is the ghost quotient, which is how much you put into the idea that you personally feel snake bitten or haunted. Again, I don't believe that there is a curse on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I might believe that if they lose in a horrific way on Saturday night and I might be a few beers deep. I think I have to watch this game with alcohol and then do a rewatch, I'll be honest. Like, I think I have to go out for Game 7. I don't think I can do the alone on the couch thing again where I just crawl into my room.
Just the worst.
I didn't have a pint of ice cream to crush either yesterday to just cool down with, you know. To me, this is what it's all about. It's not about like the odds or the percentages or whatever. It's like the team is obviously good. Obviously they are good. They're so obviously good. They're so obviously talented. And I don't know what the solution is. But I think that it gets back to what I said coming into the season. When things are going tough, when things are going against you, and you start to look around the room and you see all the same faces and you feel like you're in the exact same spot, doesn't it feel like you're now living in hell where it's just like you're reliving the same pain over and over and over again? And at what point, there has to be a point where you lose belief in yourself when it's the same people that have failed over and over and over and over again. Like, I'm just sorry. Like, there has to be a measure of value to that. And that's what's so impossible to figure out.
I gotta rewatch Russian Doll and see if there's a solution in there somewhere.
Yes, exactly. But this is it. And this is why the Leafs are in an impossible position if they lose that way, is that they're going to have to try and figure out the thing that's impossible to figure out in professional sports, rather than have the one thing where you go, well, if we improve this, we could be that. It's awful. What is not awful is Jackie Redman. huge Maple Leafs fan. I want to know how she's feeling. I want to know how her dad is feeling about this game. Her dad also a massive fan. This is where you start to build up the ghosts over years and years and years. Jackie Redmond, studio host, NHL Network, reporter for NHL on TNT. We continue to ride the wave. It's the Fan Morning Show. J.D. Blake and Ailer, Sports at 5-9 of the Fan.
Smart takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Please do us a favor, if you like the show, subscribe to the podcast. I know not everybody listens to a whole radio show or a whole podcast of 4 hours. Listen, I know that's not it for everyone. But if you subscribe, it helps us out a lot. If you leave a review, that's always very nice. And we could use a little bit of karma out there on... heading into a game seven, shall we not? I like manipulating people. You know, manipulating people is fun.
And if the Leafs lose, it's because you didn't go five stars.
Well, all I would say is, like, are you being your best, nicest self? This is one of those, like, bad kid before Christmas moments to me, this Leafs game seven.
Oh, yeah, trying to get on the nice list at the last moment?
Yeah.
Well, I'll show up the driveway.
I'll do anything.
You got old Fred Claus up there looking for any one thing.
This is actually the time. I'm basically Don Corleone, day of my daughter's wedding, where I have to do favors.
You come to
everyone.
Me?
Yeah, like I today is the day you get your favors from me. Tomorrow is the day you get your favors from me. The next 24 hours plus, if somebody asks me to do something, you better believe I'm going to do it. This is where I'm reaching out to people. I'm doing all the nice things, right? I'll do everything just to try to create a little bit of karma, just to know that it's not my fault, you know? Like, just to know that I am completely absolved of any future blame. If you need a favor from me, now's the time to ask. Don Bunkus, on the day of his daughter's wedding, this is the time.
You come
Jackie
to me
Redmond.
On the day of my sixth game seven?
Yeah, exactly. Like my ninth elimination game.
Tenth
anyway,
now. Yeah,
the bad kids who try to change their ways right before Christmas Eve. Jackie Redmond is one of them, studio host, NHL Network, and reporter for the NHL on TNT. What nice things are you going to do over the next 24 hours to try and swing the luck in the Leafs' favor?
Well, first of all, good morning, everyone. The good thing for me is that I am in lovely Pittsburgh getting ready to cover Penn's Rangers tonight. So I'll be totally distracted by another series that's been, you know, a little bit crazy and has had a lot of different twists and turns. So I'll be nice and distracted. I won't have to worry about the Leafs.
I don't believe you, Jackie. I think you're going to be sitting there and you're going to be covering that game and you're going to do a great job covering that game as you always do. But in the back of your head, you'll keep being like, you know what? I think if the Leafs make it on, they could beat this Pittsburgh team in a conference final. You know what? I think if they did this to Vasilevsky, they could do a lot to Shesterkin in the conference final. That's how I would be. That's what I'd be dealing with as a reporter covering an alternate game in the conference. That maybe that's just me, but I think there will be a little bit of that creeping in for you.
Buddy, that's Jackie Brain from 2 weeks ago filling out my bracket. I took the Leafs to the conference final. I was like, you know what? I think they can beat this Tampa team. And if they can pull it off, then like, they're going to shed all of that weight all of expectation and pressure, I think, once they prove to themselves, like, oh, yeah, like we're actually a good hockey team. We can win games against really good teams. So I've been in that mindset since this whole thing started. And the Leafs have given me a lot of reasons to feel good about that pick. Like, I'm not just saying this to, like, be different and be like, oh, no, I'm, like, the calm, rational person in this conversation. Like, I truly do feel really good about the Leafs in Game 7. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not. You're not being the calm, rational person. And that's the thing is, and that's why I needed to have you on today is I know that I want to have people who care about this team on today. And I want to have people who know this team and can tell the difference of good and bad and ghost versus non or choke versus non-choke. And I said, like, off the top of the show, this is almost what's the most frustrating part of all of this is, like, I would almost rather they just choke and lose and be losers and go with the whole blow up the offseason and I hate this team and why is it the way that this is? And it's like, no, they're doing the thing where they're playing way better and they look like a more mature team. And if we're going to say, like, the Leafs are cursed, the curse feels like it's manifesting in the fact that they drew Tampa in the first round because Tampa looks like the only team that could beat these guys short of maybe Colorado. But I don't even know what to make of Colorado's series because they just body bagged a team that basically didn't belong there right away. Like, look at the Oilers. They're scrapping and clawing with a team that also doesn't make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Like, the Leafs are in the stronger conference playing the toughest team, and they have carried the play for the vast majority of the series. And like, they've looked like the better team in the game, the non-game where they just completely pulled an egg, which is the game four opportunity that they had. For the most part, they look like they're growing up. And I think that that's really tough to reconcile with if they lose this next game. But I want to ask you this, because I just went on a long rant. We started the show.
Shocking.
I know. Everybody's shocked. We started the show with, does that make you feel better about a game seven, actually? Like, because in life, when you do your best and you fall short, that's usually when you feel snake bit, and that's usually when it's harder to recover. Like, had the Leafs just stunk in game six and they lose, people go, okay, well, you have game seven and prove the world wrong. But now that they put their best foot forward and lost, are you worried that, like, that's where the demons crop up for this team?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Like, if they go out and have a really, really solid game in game seven and lose, I do think that's more devastating, mostly because the fan base is so used to this team choking in just miraculous fashion that when it happens, it's like, oh, I knew this would happen. This is just classic Leafs. And then you're mad about it and you don't like it, but you feel like you're right. You feel like, oh, well, this is what always happens. Of course the Leafs would go out and play a horrendous game in game seven and lose or blow a 4-1 lead or, you know, whatever. But if they go out and they play really well and they lose, that's much more devastating because that's real belief. That's like, oh my gosh, this is within grasp. We can win this game. And we didn't do anything to shoot ourselves in the foot and we still lost. Like, why can't we be the team that comes up with a goal, you know, in overtime, which was, that was a tough loss last night for the Leafs simply because I thought they were the way better team in overtime, but that's for some reason so often how overtime goes that one team dominates for long stretches and then the other team goes down the other way and scores. But no, I think you're right. I think that if they go out and they play a solid game seven and they lose, that'll be a tough pill to swallow because you won't be able to just fall back on, well, they choked, they're not ready, they don't have killer instinct, because that won't be there. Even, and people will still say actually that they don't have killer instinct if they lose, but I don't think that's true. I think the thing that I've really liked in the last, let me count the periods, the last two games, let's say, because game four I was livid. But ever since then, I was like broken after that game. I was like, nope, I tear up my bracket, it's over, they don't have it. So that's kind of, you know, don't trust me when I talk about the Leafs. But the last two games, I would say that not everybody has to be ready on that team to get this done. Just the core players have to be. And I think that they've shown that they are ready. Like, when in this series have you really been worried about Austin Matthews? I haven't, for the most part. Mitch Marner looks ready. William Nylander is William Nylander, but he's had his good moments. And the big break, or the big good thing is, that's really bad language or sentence structure at this time of the morning, but John Tavares finally, you know, has caught a couple breaks. And I think that that's sort of, you know, made him look like a more solid player. He looks more comfortable. He doesn't look as frustrated out there. And Jack Campbell, I mean, Jack Campbell has been huge in the last two games. So I think, like, when you look at the core players and the fact that they're playing well, that's what matters. They don't look afraid of the big moment. And Austin Matthews doesn't sound like he's afraid of the big moment based on his comments after the game yesterday. So that's where my confidence lies, is in those guys. And those guys look so vastly different, especially Mitch Marner, than they did last year against the Montreal Canadiens. So for me, like, if Kerfoot's rattled, okay, whatever. Please don't turn over the puck at a bad time. But I don't care about that. I care about the main players, the core players, the players that make all the money. I care about them not being rattled. And they don't look scared. So I'm not really that scared. I'll say this, though. You know, the Leafs aren't the team that have blown a 2-0 lead in the last two games. Tampa is. And if that was reversed, people would be losing their minds. But that's not the Leafs. It's the Bolts that have blown 2-goal leads and not been able to shut it down. And that's their MO. So for me, I think Tampa's done. That's just my opinion.
I love that. And Matthews' quote, we've just got to put our balls on the line and go for it. I mean, it sounds like they have the right mentality going into Saturday night. And, you know, he mentioned nothing else matters but this game seven. So if we switch the narrative a bit and not think that they're out of this series, as you said, and that they have this edge, what are the three things on your wish list? You're a genie. You get to rub the little lamp. You get to pick three things. What do you need from the Leafs Saturday night?
Saturday night? I get to pick any things. Okay,
three
well,
things that the Leafs need coming into
Austin
Saturday
Matthews
night.
Scores 100 goals. Boom.
Okay.
It's tangible.
We'll go with an Austin Matthews, like, you know, since he's got the, you know, balls comment that he, you know, I'm Austin effing Matthews, goes out and has a game, scores a hat trick. Jack Campbell shutout, obviously. And what do I want to happen in that game? Who do I want to, like, have a nice moment? Let's get, like, a Mikheyev shorty. Why not? Throw that in the mix. Just a shorthanded goal for Mikheyev, right? Yeah. That'd be fun. Oh,
that sounds great.
A win, obviously. But if Jack Campbell gets a shutout, then obviously they're winning.
Yeah. I think that this is going to be one of the most fascinating Game 7s ever because of so many of the things that you just outlined, right? And I agree with what you said about the core. Like, the core, they feel so much more engaged this time around. And yeah, it's easy to compare them to last year where it was like, well, one, you didn't even have Tavares in the series. And only one of those four guys was clicking, right? Only one of them was going. And I guess we include Jack into it, whatever. But man, it's just like they've been so good. They've been so different. And I think that there's a lot of reasons for optimism. I really, really do. And like you said, I think Tampa's done and that they've blown these leads. What about also the fact that this is the team with way more miles on the tires that's older, that looked shot in a lot of that overtime period, that has to now travel and come back to Toronto and find their legs again, right? Like there's a lot of reasons to believe in the Leafs. There's absolutely a lot of reasons to believe in the Leafs. And so I think that your optimism is not misplaced. Like, it's really not. I just think that Leaf fans are probably a little bit more guarded in the sense of you go, man, you start to feel just a little bit of hope and optimism. That's where it hurts you the most. And people keep saying, I'm ready to get hurt again. I don't know if that's true. I want to ask you this, though. It's like, was there a part of you, and I've been to ask this of every hardcore Leafs fan, and this is something that I'm going to be doing, that is, like, afraid of success. Like, you won't know what to do with it if they win.
I love that you're asking that right now because I had this thought last night, actually, because I really felt like I'm in my family group chat, right? And I'm feeling like confident. My sister's like losing her mind, like, oh, overtime, they're going to lose. She has no faith. She's like rattled. I'm like, I'm glad you're not playing in this game. But anyways, you know, I was like, you know, if they win and they go into the next round, like, I don't even know what my reaction would be. Like, I feel, I don't even know if it would be excitement. I think it would be just like a very foreign, unfamiliar, uncomfortable. I think I'd be uncomfortable, actually, because it's been so long since I've watched a Leafs team actually, you know, go on any type of run in the playoffs. So I think there's something to that. I think there might be I don't think it would be a nervousness. I just think it would be an unfamiliarity, but in some ways I think, and this is probably not good, but because I'll probably be devastated. But I think I would get really confident, and I'd be like, that's it. Like, we're going deep. We're going to the final. Like, I do feel like I will fall into that trap, for better or worse, if the Leafs beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Because, like, every year, right, we talk about paths to the final. And I feel like with a lot of things that are happening in the East, that path is opening up in a lot of ways for the Leafs. Like, you look at some of the teams around them, and there's reasons. I mean, first of all, you beat the defending champs. Obviously, you're going to feel good about beating anybody, especially when the defending champs have, you know, the best goalie in the world. Hasn't looked like it in this series for the most part, although he made some amazing saves last night. but that's obviously going to make you confident. But, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't have their starting goaltender, probably doesn't have Sidney Crosby. The Rangers, I think, have shown themselves to be a little overwhelmed by the moment in the series against Pittsburgh. Carolina would be ridiculous if Freddie came back, but again, a question mark, although Antti Raanta's played well and they've looked good. I just think there's a lot of reasons to believe that the Leafs would have a very, very good chance of getting to, for sure, the conference final and maybe the Stanley Cup final if they can win this Game 7. Like, it really all comes down to this for me, because I do think that they can beat any other team in front of them. A series against Florida would be wild, but I think they could win it. So I think the path is sort of opening up, but the biggest,
totally.
This is like a turning moment. This Game 7 is so huge for me. And I know it sounds cliche, but I really, really feel that this game could be the game that catapults this team into a really deep, magical run. I truly believe that.
I'm with you. I totally agree with everything you just said. And even before the Sid injury, and even before, looking at the landscape of what Carolina's going to have in net or whatever, Pittsburgh's going to have in net. I totally agree with you about that Rangers team. I can't even believe that they're in this series. If it wasn't for Trouba, I think they're done. That's what's so daunting about this, is you can see the success. You can see forward, and it's so hard to keep that out of your brain. And that's why I kind of ask about like the identity questions and like how people are feeling, is you have to accept that if they win this game, they're finally doing the damn thing. They might go deep. They have a really strong chance of going on a run. Like, if they put back the choking element of this, which is what they would be doing by winning this game, then you put it up as, well, it's them and Colorado as the two best teams left. Like, what, you really think St. Louis? I would say St. Louis is the number three, and they're behind Toronto. Maybe Carolina, okay? But are you really afraid of Carolina, like, compared to this Tampa team? It's right there for the Leafs. It's right in front of them, and that's just terrifying, I think, for everybody involved. And that's why I told you I know you're in your family group chat, and your dad is, like, a hardcore fan. Like, he's in the garage, and he's just there, like, grinding away with this Leafs team year after year. So I asked you, like, I was really hoping that this was going to be a celebratory text from your dad, or like state of the franchise from your dad. But I'm curious as to where he's going with this, because I think that depending on your age, it's like you're in kind of different pockets of optimism, pessimism, belief, non-belief.
Oh, for sure. My dad, so to give people an idea of my father, like he is the typical, like, rose-colored glasses, like, loves everything about the Toronto Maple Leafs all the time. Like, even the whipping boys, like, my dad always, like, the players that the fan base collectively just rips, like, my dad still loves. Like, he just does not fall into that category. Like, he sees everything as, he's, every year he thinks that they can win the cup, even, like, 6 years ago when it was awful. But I will say, he does ride that wave of emotion during the game. So, like, he gets frustrated. He says they can't win. Like, last night, you know, my sister's having a meltdown in the group chat, like an absolute meltdown. And my dad just goes, they can't finish a series, plain and simple, ... I hope I'm wrong, sunglass face. And then he says, I've seen this movie too many times before. We never have the heroes. And then puts another sunglass face. But this morning he's like, I feel better. Game 7, we got this. Let's go, Leafs.
Yeah,
so, you know, he's back on the train this morning. But, you know, he loves this team so, so much. And I think this is the best team that Toronto has had in a really, really long time, obviously. And I think that people should feel good about it. And I don't know what else to say other than that. And I'm glad that, you know, my sister, the one thing she was freaking out about after the game was those high sticking penalties in the 5-on-3. Like, she's like, we got jobbed. Like, we got robbed. This is brutal.
And, I love that fan.
She's just going right back into, you know, the old bag of tricks of, like, you know, it's unfair. Why me? She actually said, why do I watch this team?
Yeah, I think that, why do we watch this team, or why do we put ourselves through this? I bet you if, like, Rogers and Bell were like, hey, we're going to put everybody everybody's texts out, like a trending on Twitter thing, you know, like was a hashtag. That would have been number one. Oh, like that would have been number one. That would have been the number one text message that was shared with things. Like I'm like, we all have the family members who deal with this kind of trauma in different ways. And I love the like blames the ref one. I love the why do we do this? Like the like existential question family member. My brother's move is just to like try to reverse curse them the entire game, where every text is like, they're losers. I hate them. They can't win. There's no chance they'll win. There's no chance they'll score. There's no, and it's just a million texts in a row of just hating on them. And then, woo, we'll probably like when they score, but then we'll probably blow it like right after, cause he doesn't want to get too high on the hog. Like it's just, it's like everybody has their ways of dealing with this. And I think that everybody is going to be similar to your dad, where you're going to ride emotions over the next, I don't know how many hours it is. This is a Blake's an area, you know,
35?
Blake, you know,
five.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Blake. Over the next 35 hours, we're going to go back and forth on whether you believe or whether you think that it's going to be the worst night of your life or whatever. And that's sports. That's sports, baby. Like that's there's nothing better. You're gonna, like this is going to be good.
That's why we watch, right? Like, let's not kid ourselves. The reason that we watch, or one of the main reasons that we watch, is because the feelings that the game like emotes out of us. Like, we care about these teams, but you can't tell me that you don't, like, every single one of us secretly enjoys like riding the highs and the lows of a game and of a series in the playoffs. Like, that's what we love. This is what we live for. This is why you want to be in the playoffs, because you get these crazy swings and these amazing moments. You get devastating moments, but you also get really amazing ones. And so I think that that's all part of it. And your description there was, it's like you were talking about my sister, honest to God, because she'll just complain, and then something good happens, yeah, and she's like, yes, that's right, go Leafs. I'm just like, who are you? Like, yeah. Take a deep breath. But you know, the one thing I was pretty happy about last night for the most part, and I didn't see all of the post-game comments, but I think I saw most of them, is that like the Leafs weren't really engaging, Austin Matthews anyways, in talking too much about the refs and the calls. Like, I didn't want to hear them talk about that, because I think it would be easy to be like, oh, well, you know, there were some tough calls, you know, late in the game that sort of changed the game, and they did change the game. But I really just wanted to hear the Leafs come out and say, we played a really solid game tonight, and I'm proud of the way we played, and like, we're ready for game 7. That's how you have to respond to that game. Like, the fan base can freak out about all that stuff, but I just don't think the Leafs can. So hopefully they're not, and they're just moving on, and that they know that they were the better team in that game last night, and they can win this series, because it is right there. It's right there.
Jackie, I love talking to you, and I love the show's been actually fun today, even though it's been a loss, because everyone's doing the, well, here's the thing of optimism, and then I'm going to slowly walk it back and then walk my way back to optimism at the end of the point. Originally, I've always thought JD makes his brother sound like the fan in Major League, they'll blow it in the playoffs guy. But now I'm thinking, if the Leafs are going to break this curse, JD's brother, your sister, Toronto Maple Leafs version of Fever Pitch is maybe the curse buster here. Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Kill it tonight with Pens Rangers, and enjoy tomorrow night's game 7.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. Go Leafs.
Go Leafs.
Jackie Redmond, studio host at the NHL Network, reporter at NHL on TNT. Let's take a break. Let's all that settle in. See if that vibe boost that Jackie provided is going to sustain, or if our pal Stewie is going to face swap out our optimistic faces for our dour, sour morning after a loss faces. Anthony Stewart next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.